Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello and welcome back to the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool. Ugly game on Sunday as the Cowboys fall to the Denver Broncos in beatdown fashion. And, you know, look, I think a lot of people are looking for someone or something in particular to blame for this performance. But, you know, this is the kind of disaster that can only be achieved by a blend of bad luck, bad timing, bad matchups, and bad execution. Yeah, so the results were not good. I think in my All 22 study, I was able to capture a few of these moments that might either be indicative of the larger game or at least insightful as to why the results were the way they were. But to put it in as short a terms as possible, Dallas was forced to play a game they had wanted no part of, playing from behind against an elite pass rush in Denver, and Dallas showed pretty clearly why it wasn't a desirable way for the game to unfold. So we're going to get into all the particulars. Like I said, hopefully I plunked out a couple of key, maybe not key, always key, but some plays and some notes that I made that I felt like were kind of a good picture into what was going wrong for the Cowboys at different parts. So, and plus some good things, some good news in there as well. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get to it. All right, we're going to start with the defenses and the defense. And I know that this is going to come as a surprise, but honestly, when you consider who was playing and you know what was expected, I really think that the defense was the better of the two units, if only by default, because the offense just really did not play well. So early on, Denver used a short passing game with good yards after catch to move the ball down the field. And really, just to kind of start there, that is an area where there was a huge difference between these two teams is in yards after catch. One team was getting it and one team was not, and the team that was won. Sanders and Thomas each had 20-plus yard receptions on the first drive. And both of those 20-plus yard receptions were basically all yak. I mean, they were short passes that each Sanders and Thomas took for long gains. Like I said, it was, you know, I think it was pretty clear right off the bat that the tackling wasn't the best, and that, you know, getting the men on the ground wasn't what the Cowboys defense was doing their best that day. And for the most part, though, Denver appeared to be unable to execute a deep passing plays due to pressure. So there's some good news. The Cowboys, you know, especially DeMarcus Lawrence, continued to put pressure on Denver. Denver just had a good game plan to counteract it. They just decided to kind of stick with the short passing game and the run game, and that's really all they needed because they were able to get big plays out of both due to the Cowboys' inability to make tackles. Even on Dallas's 3rd-and-2 stop on the first drive, I think it was, or no, even when they had their first third down at the stop, it was a 3rd-and-2. It took a drop. It took, you know, 50 was in zone coverage, and he fell down, leaving his zone open for Benny Fowler, and he just dropped the pass, like, and so 4th down. But I mean, like, it was even the good fortune that they were having on defense at times. It required some luck because they were just not playing well as a unit. One thing I did know, despite the bleed on most of the plays, you still noticed a difference between how the defense played in and out of the red zone. Once they got inside the 20, they tightened down the zones and took advantage of the lack of space. So clearly they were calling the game very similarly. It's just, you know, I think they started losing bodies early, and I think, you know, Lewis got in there with very little experience, and then eventually Xavier Woods gets in there playing nickelback, and he's a safety. So I think it was, you know, just a lot of inexperience at the spots they were playing at, and then just combined with bad tackling, that's enough, frankly. Another good note, there was a short run that was blown up by a great play by Jeff Heath, where he basically sacrificed himself at the legs of a pulling offensive lineman, which tripped up Anderson as well. You know, it's funny because there were three or four of these plays by Jeff Heath, and then there's three or four of those plays where, you know, like later on we'll talk about a play where he falls down, and, you know, and 50, and actually most of the guys on the defense, it seemed like, played like this, where they would make a great play. They'd make two or three great plays, and then they'd make two or three completely boneheaded plays. DeMarcus Lawrence had two sacks, had two or three other really good plays in the run game. But then he also, you know, missed a tackle on third and six at the, you know, after a one-yard gain. What would have been a one-yard gain, he missed a tackle, and the back gains 11, they get a first down. Back gains 9, and they get a first down. And it's like, you know, It's the guys who are helping you were also killing you this game, and you know I think really by the time the sixth Denver drive came around, the Cowboys were just beat up, and on that sixth Denver drive they converted 5 third down attempts, and it was just mistakes. You know, third and six. This is the play I was just talking about. Third and six. DeMarcus Lawrence misses a tackle in the hole, and the back gets 9 yards. Third and four, Heath blitzes hard, allows a wide receiver to slip into his zone behind him for an easy pitch and catch, first down. Third and five, Brown is a tick slow reacting to the slant and allows a 7-yard gain where he probably could have stopped him for at the sticks or in front of him if he had just read the play a little quicker. Third and 11, after a holding penalty that had them at first and 20, they get a short pass on third and 11 to Anderson. Lee, Byron Jones, and Heath all miss tackle opportunities, and Anderson gets the first down. Like, why do you need to throw the ball down the field when you can throw the ball short to your running back, and he can pick up a first down on third and 11? This is what happened in this game. It's, you know, when you can't tackle, things like that happen. You know, some more plays, just a couple more before we move on. But you know, second and 10, there was a power run, and Brian Price, who actually had a really decent, some really great snaps in this game. I'm really liking Brian Price, but in this particular play, he gets pushed down, he gets doubled, and he gets pushed down the line, and then two pullers come into the hole, and they get a fit on Jalen and Lee, and then it's gone. Anderson weaves past two defensive backs with a full head of steam for a 23-yard touchdown before anyone could even react. And you know, it's ugly. It's, you know, you see things in here, and then, you know, the only thing, like I said, there was the only bright spots is that we saw some good pressure. Some of these young guys who may have been burned a little bit end up getting some experience, though, like Jordan Lewis. Jordan Lewis got an interception where he read the Simeon the entire way, and Thomas kind of stumbled, fell down, but Lewis stayed on his feet, knew where the ball was going, and then ran to the spot and ran the route for Thomas, and lo and behold, the ball showed up there, and he got his interception. And it could have been a big interception if the Cowboys could have taken advantage of it, but the point is that he made the play. So, yeah, you know, it's tough. It's you think that it's going to be one way, and they just really took advantage of the matchups that they had with the very extremely good wide receivers on the outside, and then the Cowboys compounded it by not tackling. One more note before I move on from defense. I mentioned Jordan Lewis, but I thought I needed to at least bring up Xavier Woods' name, because I thought that he came in as a safety and played nickelback for, you know, I don't even know how many snaps, probably 20 plus at least, though, and played great. And really, like, looked comfortable and didn't get burned and looked like, you know, not even just looked comfortable, but looked like, hey, maybe we should get some more snap, that guy has some more snaps there, because it might be a good spot for him. So I just thought that it was worth noting that some of these younger guys who, you know, definitely may have had struggles early on when they came into the game because of necessity, they started to figure it out a little bit more at the end. So, I mean, that's some good signs. Look, I think that, you know, if you look at the score and if you look at the box score, it looks terrible for what the defense did. It does. It looks awful. I'm here to tell you that I think that the problem is solvable. It's fixable because it's about tightening up. It's, you know, Sean Lee missing tackles. How many times Sean Lee missed as many tackles in that game as I think he will the rest of the year. Like I think, you know, and then other guys missing tackles too that just don't normally do that. And I just think that this whole defense is predicated on allowing teams short passes but rallying to tackle the football. So when you don't rally to tackle the football, like, that's obviously a huge part of your game plan just completely thrown out the window. And much like how that got thrown out the window and the defense had to adjust, the offense had to do something similarly with running the football and having no ability to do that and then having to adjust. So let's get into that next, shall we? Okay, offensive notes. So as I mentioned before, you know, the inability to get the run game going was just killer. I mean, Adam Gotsis and Derek Wolf just were absolute monsters in the run game, and the Broncos just basically, you know, over pursued the wide zone and then just had Gotsis and Wolf destroy whatever backside cutoffs were being made by the tackles and just making tackles in the backfield. And it really, you know, they didn't even get a lot of run opportunities just because of the way the game played out. So, you know, it's hard to say that the run game was terrible because it was just really bad for a few snaps and then it was basically gone. So, yeah, it was ugly to say the least, but we're going to get into some particular plays that I pointed out. So, on that second drive, first and 10, quick pop-up pass mid-wide zone to Dez. Basically, they were halfway through running what looked like to be a wide zone running play, and Dak just pops up and throws a pass to Dez, who was running a slant. I really wish they had done more of this. I think that this kind of thing had success. I think more of this would have had success as well. Note from the second Dallas drive, short passing game was functioning early but not thriving. Beasley, Zeke, Witten all caught passes but with no yak, no first down. We talked about this earlier where the difference seemed to be that not that the Cowboys weren't catching passes. They were catching passes at times. They just weren't doing anything with it. And they weren't being thrown open, or they just weren't able to, you know, pick up first downs or, you know, get any extra yards after they catch the ball. Denver seemed to be running a lot of twists and stunts, attempting to free up versus the Dallas OL, which included several uncalled defensive holding penalties where Wolf or Barrett or someone would be holding a man and letting their other guy get free. Second and 10, they're in 12 personnel. They got a tight end with the wing. They try to run a run pass option with a 21 and 82. And it was kind of a weird play because 82 tries to chip the defensive end real quick with the idea of, like, trying to immediately release into the middle of the field to be open for the pass. But instead, after he chips the DE, then he gets engaged by Barrett, and which delays his path to get out into route. And that little delay in his release proved deadly because the guy who Dak was reading as the RPO trigger, he read as pass, which means that he advanced towards the line of scrimmage, leaving his zone unoccupied for Witten to run into. But in the process of advancing to the line of scrimmage and leaving his zone, he was blitzing at the quarterback. So when Witten didn't show up where he was supposed to be at the time he was supposed to be, Dak had no choice but to try to scramble out and then basically just throw the ball over Williams' head on the sideline as a throwaway. You know, it's stuff like that where weird timing execution just didn't work out. They were disrupting all that, and it just wasn't working. And they ran three or four different RPO plays that it wasn't a bad read. They didn't get the look that they didn't want. It's just someone made an athletic play to knock the ball down. Someone disrupted the tight end in route, so he didn't get to where he needed to be in time. You know, it's little things like that that just seem to really add up for these guys. Third and 10, Dak is forced to scramble right due to backside pressure, where Smith was chasing Barrett around the edge and expecting a Zeke chip. And then once Zeke goes for the chip, he tries to throw his shoulder into Barrett. Barrett gets skinny and slips between Smith and Zeke, who then run into each other. And then as he's pursuing Dak, Dak feels the pressure, rolls away from him. Witten sees Dak rolling away from him and breaks back towards the sideline, trying to mirror him to make himself open. It would have been like a 15-yard gain, but Dak either didn't see him or just decided to run. But then he only, on 3rd and 10, he only gets 7 yards, and then that's where he slightly tweaked his ankle. So, you know, it's a lot of, I mean, look at those little things, like Zeke and Smith missing, one guy that flushes him out, and Dak not keeping his eyes down the field to see Witten breaking open. It's just a lot of little things. Again, it adds up. And again, my next note is, it's a game of little things. I see hands and passing lanes disrupting timing and windows and timing. Denver did a great job of not just batting down passes, but at least making, or at least when not batting passes down, making Dak double clutch because there are hands in the passing lane that he wants to throw in. And it affected the game at several different points, several different key points of the game. Beasley catches an out versus Marshall for 9 yards. I included this because I put the note in here. It feels like Beasley may not be 100%. I may only be basing this on the routes he's been running, but it feels like a surprising lack of double move routes that we are used to seeing, the kind of whip routes and that sort of thing. So I love the moving pocket on the 3rd and 1 conversion to Williams on the 8th drive. I really wish they had done more of that, because it was, I think, was an effective counter to what the Broncos were doing. On a 1st and 10 wide zone left, the reads to me looked, there was a read that looked to me like it was a bend or a break, but 21 decided to bounce it outside. It looked like when he was getting running opportunities, he was just too excited at the end. He got too far out in front of his center, and it caused him to get a bad read, and he just ran right into traffic. Great job by Dak of adjusting to what we were just talking about earlier with hands and the passing windows. There is another slant to Beasley, but he had to wait for the second window because the first window there was a hand in his face, but he did. So he waited for that second window, was able to get the pass off to Beasley. Slant, 11 yards. Nice play by Dak. And then finally, the last note I had is just to show you what we were dealing with. On that 18-yard pass to Butler, they called Von Miller offsides. But what happened was Von Miller jumped offsides, then got back onside. Then when the snap went snap, he jumped back over and then still beat Lyle Collins around the corner. So he basically beat Lyle Collins around the corner twice in that one snap. Von Miller is a freak, and I honestly, that Denver defense was way better than advertised. Maybe the rest of the world isn't aware of Adam Gotsis yet, and that's part of it, but he specifically had a really good game in the run game. Derek Wolfe looked really, really good. They are a tough team to play, and their defense doesn't have a lot of weaknesses, and their offense, unfortunately for the Cowboys, seem to match up really well with Dallas defense. I think the Dallas defense has the ability to slow down some offenses. But if you have wide receivers, I mean, especially since they were going against such an inexperienced version of our secondary, if you've got wide receivers who are excellent with yak, like Sanders and Thomas are, all that Simeon had to do was get the ball out quickly to him. And they were getting them. They were getting on the move, and then on offense, you know, they just they lost. They had bad execution early and often, and then they lost the opportunity due to the game situation to remain balanced, and that was a huge part of their game plan. And again, playing Denver's defense in any situation is bad, but playing Denver's defense when you're behind more than one touchdown is really, really, really not where you want to be, especially in Denver. It's just a hard place to play with that pass rush, with the noise. It was just a little bit much, and it got to be a quicksand situation where, the more they try to struggle, the more they would sink deeper and deeper. And so, you know, it's one game. Sometimes teams have them. I think Cowboys are really good about shaking this sort of thing off and moving on, and hopefully that's what they're going to do here. Key stat of the game I thought was interesting. Zeke and Rod Smith each had 8 yards rushing, and that's super depressing. Injury updates before we go. Chidobe Awuzie left the game with a hammy. It was the same hammy that he had dealt with in preseason. Stephen Jones seemed to indicate hopefully he would practice this week and be back this next Monday versus Cardinals. We don't know. We'll see. Skandrick, hopefully he's going to get the stitches out of his hand soon, so he might be back for week 3. Here's hoping. Nolan Carroll, you know, he got taken out at one point for concussion protocol, but he apparently passed the test and was able to get back in the game, but then he got knocked out again. So I, you know, that can't be great. So I imagine he may be gone for I would not be surprised if he's gone for at least a couple weeks. I mean, just if he's back this week, that's great, but I'm preparing myself that he may not be back. So it's Ben Wickery and Jordan Lewis and Xavier Woods time, and hopefully Awuzie can get back. And then Dak, he tweaked his ankle like we mentioned early, and it, you know, it affected him a little bit, I think, at times, but he really gutted through it and did a good job. So that's about it though, guys. It wasn't a great game. It wasn't fun to review, but you know, hopefully they took this as an early season wake up call, and this is what they're going to need to kick it into high gear. You know, again, they've played two really, really good defenses this last 2 weeks. So, you know, and the Cardinals, I think, are a good defense, but I don't know that they're quite this level. So we'll see. I mean, we'll find out next week and then beyond if this was an anomaly or if this was a horrible turn in the fate of the Dallas Cowboys. I tend to think it was an anomaly. So you guys make sure you're checking out FanRag Sports all throughout the week, and check back in with us a little bit later in the week, and we'll have a preview of that Monday night tilts versus the Cardinals. And until then, happy trails.